Morning. Let's open to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. This is from the NASB. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, we pray for revelation of your love. And God, we just thank you for this morning where we can gather and seek your face, God. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a well-known story of the adulterous woman, and you know, as I meditate on it, I begin to see and realize this is actually a brilliant story. There's not really too much going on. There's not too many moving parts, but it's brilliant in the sense of, okay, who is this story about? Is this story about the Pharisees, the leaders of the law? Is it about them? Is it about the woman who's caught in an act of adultery? Or is it about Jesus and how he acts? Now, obviously, the answer is all three. But if you look at the story of, for example, the prodigal son, and you've got moving parts there, you have to ask yourself, okay, is this story about the younger son who throws away, you know, his inheritance? Or is it about the older son who is adamant and upset and at his father for welcoming in his younger brother who is rebellious? And or is it about the father? And here we have another story, very simple, yet very profound and very deep. And you have to ask yourself, okay, well, who is this story about? And of course the answer is all three. And so this morning, you know, I get to choose from which angle I want to take it from. But one observation is from this story is that, number one, nobody gets to throw a rock. Nobody. Nobody gets to throw a rock. We're not qualified to throw any rocks against anybody, to throw any judgments against anybody. Number two, yet everybody deserves a rock. So number one, nobody deserves to throw a rock, yet everybody deserves a rock. And number three, because of that, Jesus is willing to take the rock for us. He's willing to take the punishment for us. I look at this story, and at the end of the story, in verse 11, it's amazing how Jesus responds. Obviously, it's brilliant in the strategy that he uses to get out of the trap that the Pharisees try to use. They use the law of Moses. Say, hey, the law of Moses says you should condemn this woman. You should stone this woman. Jesus, what are you going to do? And you notice how they only bring the woman caught in the act of adultery. What about the man? I mean, it takes two people to violate this law of adultery, but they only bring the woman. And so he brilliantly, as they accuse Jesus, he accuses them silently, peacefully. And then, just like out of a romantic comedy movie, Jesus simply could have said, woman, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. But, you know, I can just hear the music in the background. And as the people, as the Pharisees leave, and I could see them one by one leaving, and as they're left alone, and you've got the camera circling around them, that's only two of them, they're circling slow-mo, and he says, where is everybody? Has anybody condemned you? And she goes, no. And then the line is, neither do I. Neither do I. I don't condemn you. But, and so, I mean, in my mind, as I'm seeing this movie play out, it's like, wow, what an amazing, powerful line. I mean, it could have been said any way. It could have said, you know, woman, I'm Jesus. I forgive you. You're, you know, be free. Get gone. And it's like, no. Do you see anyone around you? Does anyone condemn you? No, Jesus. Neither do I. But what I notice here that makes me scratch my head is, wait a second, Jesus. I don't get it. She never asked for forgiveness. She never confessed of her sin. She never said, oh, Jesus, you know, it is true. I am guilty of my sin. I confess it to you. Would you forgive me? And Jesus says, okay, I forgive you. Whatever happened to 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Where's that? You notice how she's a sinner. She's a sinner. And he releases her from her sin. She doesn't even ask for it. She doesn't even want it. At the end, he goes, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, I don't know if he knew ahead of time or he knew her heart. Maybe he did. I don't understand, you know, based on what's in the text. I don't know what motivates Jesus to just release her from her sin. But then I'm reminded also, too, another story where Jesus is on the cross and there's a thief next to him. And he says, Jesus, when you go to heaven, can you remember me? And what does Jesus say? Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus on the cross releases the crime of the thief next to him. Once again, the thief isn't repentant, even. He doesn't say, Jesus, look, you know, I should be on this cross. I committed the crime. I deserve it. You know, but can you do something for me? Notice how the woman doesn't repent. And notice how the thief, and I'm beginning to see, okay, well, wow, what's going on? What is the heart of Jesus? There's a verse in John chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God, one and only Son. Jesus came into this world not to condemn us, but to save us. That was his role, that was his mission, that's his desire, that's his heart. If you were here yesterday, or if you heard EMP yesterday, we talked about who is God and who is Jesus, and we had this idea that God of the Old Testament seems to be an angry, punishing God, a holy, righteous God who is like a cosmic policeman trying to catch us and to punish us and to purify us and make us holy. And yet we have Jesus here. If you think of the first words that come out of your mind about who Jesus is, many of us would think of love and compassion, et cetera, like that. But we learned in Exodus yesterday that God is compassionate and gracious. This is the greatest revelation of who he is. These are the first words that he says of who he is, that he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. This is who God is. And now we come to Jesus, who is the full manifestation of God the Father. And here we see Jesus not wanting to condemn anybody, but to save people. And this is his heart. And so as we know the truth of who Jesus is, we see this in relation to this adulterous woman, that his heart is to save her and not to condemn her. And now that has to be received by us as believers, that now, is this woman going to ever sin again? Of course she's going to sin again. Yet Jesus releases her. And so now, as we live our lives, we have to understand the role of Jesus. That Jesus' role is full of compassion and mercy. Mercy triumph over judgment. He's not slow as we think people are slow, but he doesn't want anyone to perish. He is slow to anger. Whereas the Pharisees, they're very quick to judge. Now, we need to call sin what it is, and that's what Jesus came to break. And he, in fact, I don't know theologically or, you know, if in this moment he takes on her sin and sets her free. You know, once again, there's no confession. There's no anything like that. But that's not the point. The point is that Jesus comes to save us and not to condemn us. So there's that angle. But then we also look at the Pharisees. Why did the Pharisees want to throw stones? Right? Here's this random woman. I'm guessing they don't have any relationship with her. They don't know her. She's not a friend. She's a stranger, just a woman. And they want to throw stones. Why? Well, let's think of reasons why we want to throw stones. We throw stones because we harbor hatred in our hearts. We want to throw stones because we hold on to bitterness. We want to throw stones because we're entangled in anger. We want to throw stones because we want revenge. We want to throw stones because we're not going to let go of the things that upset us. Right? We see somebody doing something and we catch them and we want to throw stones. Why? It's because I want to get back at this person or this person is doing something wrong. And Jesus says, hey, if any of you is without sin, then go ahead and cast the first stone. But we all make mistakes, and we all sin, and we all have the need for Jesus. We may not physically actually throw stones, obviously, but we throw stones with our words, in other ways. I think we throw stones because we're frustrated at ourselves. Maybe we're tired, fatigue. Fatigue always makes us look through lenses that we don't want to look at. Maybe we've gone through false assumptions. But whatever stones you're carrying, those are needless weights that you don't need to bear. And so as I come to a close, I look at this story, and it's just amazing. Amazing at the depth of who Jesus is, first of all. The three aspects. Jesus, who sees this woman and has every authority and right to stone her. In fact, he's the only one in this whole story that could stone her. But out of his authority, he chooses not to. Out of his authority, he chooses grace. Out of his authority, he chooses mercy. Now, I don't know about you in your workplaces. Maybe you hold a place of authority. Do you, out of your authority, choose to condemn? Do you, out of your authority, choose to throw stones? Do you, out of your authority, choose to enforce the law? Jesus had every right to do that. Yet he chose grace. He chose compassion. He chose love. Like I said, maybe a great way to be a witness or evangelize in your workplace without using words is that if people can see you like Jesus, where it's like, you are my boss, you're my supervisor, and you have the authority to fire me, to condemn me, to et cetera, et cetera. You have the authority over me to do that, yet for some reason, you extend grace, and for some reason you don't condemn. This is how lives are changed. This is how people know Christ in your workplaces. It's not necessarily your brilliant, eloquent words of theological reasoning and apologetics. It's, wow, you have a place of authority and you could have condemned me. You could have stoned me. But you chose to release me. And so let's meditate on Jesus as we worship. Let's meditate on the story a little bit more. I mean, even as I'm meditating on it and processing, I'm just even more amazed at Jesus. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, that's how extravagant his grace is. That's how extravagant his love is. I just don't understand. He should have condemned her. She didn't even confess. She didn't even repent. Yet that's in his nature and that's who he is. To release, to forgive. Doesn't make sense. But for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. May we find salvation through him. Each and every day, salvation in our circumstances, salvation in our pain, salvation in our difficulties, may we find it in Jesus. So let's worship together.
Your love is amazing, steady yet unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, makes me sing and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing and hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. And I feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing and hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Wow, praise the Lord. Even as we're singing, I was just thinking about how Jesus never shamed this woman for making a grave mistake. Never shamed her. Never put extra guilt on her. I think of the times when I, even with my son, and when he makes mistakes, and just all the guilt and shame that I may put on him. And but Jesus never did that. I don't want to be known as someone who shames people or someone who guilts people. That's not Jesus. Jesus never did that. So I want to encourage you today as we continue to pray and seek God's face. May the Lord just examine your heart. No one is qualified to throw stones. And may we be like Jesus, that we don't condemn, that we don't guilt, that we don't shame others. Let's pray now for our community and family that's sick with cancer. And let's bless them. Let's ask for healing. Let's walk with them through prayer. And so let's ask the Lord to bring healing and grace to them. So let's pray. Let's pray for the salvation of those who are sick and are struggling. May they see beyond their illness and be able to see Christ as the healer. And so let's lift up those who need to know Christ and who are also sick. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are have other sicknesses and illnesses. Let's ask for complete healing for them and encouragement. And let's rejoice in answered prayer. So let's lift them up right now. Let's now pray for those who are looking for jobs. ask the Lord to provide opportunities and open doors for them. And so let's lift them up now. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and let's pray for Indonesia, and let's pray for our Phoebe ministry in Pasir Salamat, and let's pray for Kupang. There's a team that just returned from there. Let's thank the Lord for that. Let's pray for Singapore and SPSG and ask the Lord to bless them, provide them a leader, a pastor, and so let's lift up Indonesia and Singapore right now. Let's pray for our education ministries, meaning the kids and the youth. And so let's pray for Noah's Ark. And let's pray for volunteers and teachers there. Let's pray for a transition that's happening there. Let's pray for SP Youth. And let's pray for SPU, for Pastor Nate and Pastor Hyunsu. Let's lift up our education ministries now. Let's pray for Alpha that's starting up in September. Let's pray for the new discipleship classes that are happening. So let's ask the Lord that it would be fruitful. And let's pray for all those who are serving in those classes, that the Lord would use them and bless them. So let's pray for that now. Let's pray for SP 2.0 for a new building, and let's pray for a donor that was prophesied, that God would prepare that person, and so let's pray for SP 2.0. Pray for the weekend activities that are happening today, Yahweh's meeting for some Bible studies, and for Sunday services. So let's pray for all our weekend activities now. Let's pray for our prison outreach. Let's ask the Lord to bless that, and that they would experience Christ and be blessed through the outreach. So let's pray for prison outreach. Father, we just thank you for this time together, and we just want to bless you. We just want to honor you. God, we thank you that you are a God that does not condemn, but God, that you came to save. And Lord, just thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your truth. God, help us to walk in the light. And Lord, we just ask for your grace upon us today. God, help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray.